It's time for ER 101 with expert guests provided by the American College of Emergency Physicians. Here's Dr. Lee Vinoker.
Hi, and welcome to ER 101. Well, an interesting study just came out in the Annals of Emergency Medicine, a fascinating study, and we have the author of that study on, Dr. Tim Platts Mills. He's an assistant professor in the Department of Emergency Medicine at University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. And the study is that, you know, seniors, a good proportion of seniors are coming in the United States, malnourished. So welcome, Dr. Platts Mills. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Lee.
So tell me a little bit, you know, your expertise too is, you know, emergency care of the elderly. So what, first of all, made you start to look at this, or how did you notice that perhaps this was happening?
Yeah, well, there's kind of a fun story behind it, which is that I have a study coordinator who has worked with me for the past 2 years, and he is in the Department of, in the School of Public Health in the Department of Nutrition, and he said he wanted to do a master's paper, and he wanted me to be his mentor on it. And the first thing I thought was, well, Greg, there's no overlap between nutrition and emergency medicine, so I can't help you. But I didn't say that. And the next day I said to him, well, what about if we looked at malnutrition? My area of interest is in the emergency care of older adults. And I said, well, you know, maybe there's a problem with malnutrition, older adults, we could look at that. And so that's how we got started on it. And we had kind of a full summer and a really great team of people here collecting data, and we got some really interesting data, as you sort of mentioned already, with 16% of the sample meeting criteria for malnutrition. So higher than we expected, and also interestingly, a lot of the people that we spoke to who were malnourished, about three-quarters of them said they'd never been told they were malnourished and didn't really have an awareness that that might be a problem for them.
So let's talk about it. What? How did you define, you know, and then on top of that, you found like, but 60% were at risk for malnutrition. So how did you decide they were malnourished? What types of parameters were you looking at?
Yeah, the measure we use is the MNASF, which is malnutrition assessment short form, and it's something that's been used in over 40 studies in 12 different countries. And the original validation of the measure was based on two different things. One, a series of sort of biomarkers and visual assessment of, is this patient eating enough? But then also asking expert clinicians to sort of judge whether the patient had malnutrition. And so it's actually sort of considered a really excellent measure for malnutrition, and it's been widely used. So we sort of leverage that screening tool, which can be tested, can be assessed pretty efficiently in the emergency department. It takes less than 5 minutes, and that gave us our definition.
Now, another question, and I don't know if it was entered in the study, because, you know, in today's society, we're constantly talking about obesity being a problem, and even sometimes with the elderly, because when we say malnourished, you know, most people think, oh, somebody who's, you know, very thin and slight, but there's also obesity in these food desert areas where people don't have healthy food. You know, so we're in this era today where poverty and obesity and are running together, which maybe never did before. Did you notice, were some of these seniors actually overweight with medical problems like diabetes and things, but yet not having the correct nutrients?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, and it's a little bit complicated to disentangle it. But the way the measure works, it includes body mass index, so it includes a measure of BMI, but it's not solely based on BMI. There are several other questions that are asked regarding whether you're eating enough, whether you've decreased your food intake, whether you've lost weight, and then regarding like an acute illness that might be stressful for the patient. So there are a series of questions that sort of help to define a group of people who are malnourished. For the most part, the people in our study had low or low normal BMI. The people who were defined as malnourished had low or low normal BMI. So it is not really the case that there are a lot of people out there that are quite overweight that still meet a definition for malnutrition. It's of course conceivable that, you know, if you just drank Coca-Cola all day, you could be overweight but not be well nourished. But for the most part, our people were low or low normal weight, and I think it's important to recognize this is that it's sort of a different problem. Maybe it's a related problem, but there are some people who are quite overweight, and there are significant health problems with that. But there are also a group of older adults who, or for a variety of reasons, are malnourished. And one of the things that is probably coming into play is some of these people are isolated and lonely, and eating is a social behavior. And if you're on your own, you might not just have a desire or the sort of context in which you feel like preparing food and sitting down and having a good meal.
Now, in the study, too, you talked about it was highest among people that did have symptoms of depression. And, you know, even though we talk about that is one of the symptoms of depression. We're going to talk about it later in the show, too. But the idea of, you know, some people do overeat when they're depressed, but the majority of people, you know, they don't care about anything. So was that a problem that you saw a lot with seniors?
Yeah, so the association we saw was that amongst the subset of people who met criteria for depression, of whom there were 25 patients, half of them were malnourished, which was much higher than the overall percent, which was only 16%. So, yeah, that's the association we saw. Now, to be fair, this is cross-sectional data, so we don't know exactly the direction of that relationship. It could be that there's something that these people are malnourished for another reason. Let's say they have dental problems, and it's just hard for them to eat, and it hurts. Or let's say they're poor, and so it's hard for them to either buy groceries or get the transportation they need to buy groceries. And so it could be that malnutrition from another cause is predisposing them to depression. On the other hand, as you've already suggested, it could be they're depressed as sort of a more fundamental problem, and the result of the depression is that they're not eating as much. And so, well, I'm not able to sort of look at my data and say, well, I think it's this is causing this, or the other way around. I think one of the take-home lessons for clinicians is that if you see a patient who's malnourished or appears to be malnourished, it's worth doing a formal screen, which doesn't take very long. And then it's also worth sort of asking a question about depression. And similarly, if you see an older adult who's depressed, you should think to yourself, is this patient malnourished?
Yeah, and I one thing that's interesting compared, and we don't have a lot of time, but some of these people did live in assisted living. And I think if you put your loved one into an assisted living, you would assume that somebody was helping them with something like that. But did you find that they didn't have a lot of oversight in assisted living?
Yeah, so our research group does not spend a lot of time going into the assisted living communities and sort of assessing the quality of care or nutrition that the patient's getting there. We just are meeting people in the emergency department. But you're right, we did see a high rate of malnutrition amongst the subset of patients living in assisted living. And I think that the one sort of observation I can make is that there's a pretty broad range in terms of level of oversight and quality of care and level of responsibility being provided by these assisted living communities. And some of them are outstanding and some of them are pretty limited. And unfortunately, this ends up often being an issue of socioeconomics.
Yeah. So this is fascinating, and maybe that's the next area of study to see who is helping some of these seniors, and not being able to get out is probably an important thing. So think about that with your elderly loved ones. I want to thank my guest. This is ER 101. I'm Dr. Lee Vanocur on Radio MD. Stay well.